Is your Nintendo hard or soft? Find out this week on Android App Addicts. Everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 520. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Nintendo Switch, bifocals, and whatever else happens to cross our minds. My name is Mark, occasionally known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and joining me this week is the Grand Poobah of the Podnuts Network, Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin. Hey, Steve. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing pretty good. I'll say up here in the north, temperature finally actually dipped to where it feels, you know, I almost need a jacket. I'm a jacket kind of guy. I like the weather where I need a light jacket before I need a full coat type thing.
Yeah, it's, I think the high today was 73, 74, something like that. And so all the Georgia people got out there, Ugg boots and parkas. You know, they were freezing to death. Eric is out work something, right?
Yes. I believe that a conference, or he actually secretly is planning on winning that $900+ million.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with 900. Honestly, truthfully, $900 million would probably ruin your life more than it would help your life.
Yes, but the question is did you at least enjoy the ride?
I didn't even buy a ticket. I've got tomorrow, right? The drawing is tomorrow, so I've got time. I got to at least buy a ticket. For $900 million, you got to buy a ticket.
Or at least pitch in with a group buying a ticket, or have your significant other buy a ticket, or your brother, sister, niece, somebody around. Because there are people, I can tell you right now, if I win, they're fine. For the rest of their life, they're fine. They have nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? At least one of them buy it. But, you know, I still stick with, I know the surefire number one way to end a conversation when somebody says, what would be the first thing you do if you were to win that much money? And the easiest thing to say to immediately end the conversation is, well, first thing is there'll be a lot of people dead. They just bank, change the topic, stop talking, walk away, whatever. And that's my goal at work. I'm the guy at work, Mark. If I was standing there and I said that, you would die laughing and then want to ask me more questions.
Yeah. See, part of the joy of the lottery is you buy that $2 ticket and then you've got endless possibilities. And so you can think about how you're going to spend that money. It's entertainment money for me.
I'm a firm believer in there is, the brain is a organic machine. It has its flaws. It has its things it's good at. It has its biases that we've had for whatever number of years. I do believe blissfully thinking about what we could do with such fantasy realm, such utopia, would be nothing but great things. And I honestly think it's a really healthy thing for a brain to do sometimes. You know what I mean? There's overdoing it, but then there's not doing it enough either. So I just, you know, say to the wife, you know, first thing we would do is get away and take the people who we care about over to wherever, at least 1,000 miles away. And for at least 45 days, we would be telling everyone, okay, calm down. Okay, can you please calm down? Can you please calm down? Just for 45 days. Please calm down. Okay, can you calm down now? Can we calm down now? Are you calm down? Can we calm down now? Just for 45 days, because that's how long it would take, I think, for the buzz to wear off. And then just, what would be one thing you would want to do right now that you would feel could better you and better your existence and better everything around you kind of thing? Oh, go ahead. Let's do it. Yeah. You'll be leaving tomorrow. You know, go do that. And just do that for X number of years.
Right. You're definitely going to have toys. Right. That's a given. But if you've got $900 million and you spend it all on toys, you're the worst example of humanity possible, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Honor just, I want to say announced from looking at this stage shot, Huawei, I want to say it was literally like 17 devices. And then they announced their Porsche model of the Mate 20. You would have to literally, buy something like 3 million Porsche Honor phones to throw away. I mean, hey, to spend that much money is insane.
Right. So let's just...
Or you have extremely high tolerance and a really bad habit.
So here's the way I look at that. Just to make easy math, let's say you make $100,000 a year. So whatever your budget is, Everything in your life is budgeted on $100,000 a year. You win that kind of money, and so we were saying before, if you take the annuity option, you get $45 million a year. Government's going to take a chunk of that. So let's say at the end, you end up with $20 million free when it's all said and done. Those are low numbers. All right. That's 200 times your $100,000. So whatever you pay on rent now, 200 times that. Whatever you pay on eating out now, 200 times that. Whatever you spend on clothing now, 200 times. I can't even conceive of how to spend that much money.
I'll say, if this was an episode of Brewster's Millions, youngsters, hit pause, go watch that movie. Great.
The remake, not the original. The original wasn't that great.
John Candy.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. If you want to try to set that goal for you, I'm sure I think I could find a way to succeed at that, but it would be uncommon.
It would be a chore. Absolutely. It would be work to spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, but you know, case rah, sirrah.
Then you get to the end of that year and there's another $20 million deposited. I mean, you can't buy houses every year. I mean, 5-10 years in, you have bought everything you could possibly want several times and you still have another $20 million coming. So, anyway.
Yeah. I tell you, Mark, I would definitely be thinking philanthropy of some measure, of some magnitude, of some sort. But to me, the most difficult thing about philanthropy isn't the act of doing it, but it's deciding where to go, what to do to try to make the greatest impact.
That would be your new job. Your new full-time job would be giving away money. Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
Yeah. We did have some actual hardware news, Mark, and I don't know how much you thought we did have the Project Steam, Project Stem, Project Steer, whatever the hell it's called, the Chrome browser, a Assassin's Creed Origins, and I haven't heard much except for it launched. Nobody's saying anything great, grand. No one's saying anything horrible, bad. It's a heavily controlled experiment, is what I'm going to say. So you know, more power to them. I guess.
I do have some hardware news in my own life. My sweet oldest child turned 16 years old yesterday, sweet 16. And for her sweet 16, I replaced her 3-year-old Moto G3 with the new Moto G6 that I tried to buy from Motorola, but they were out of stock. So I went to Amazon, and it was here in 2 days. I'm not exactly sure how that worked out. If Motorola doesn't have them, how does Amazon have them? But anyway, once again, as I have always said, I've now owned a G3, a G5, and a G6. And a G4. G3, G4, G5, G6. So I've had all of them in that line. They are stellar, stellar everyday use mid-grade phones. They're not super powerful. You know, my OnePlus smokes it in all the specs categories. But in terms of what your wife and daughter, what your non-geek person in your life needs, it is a stellar phone for $300. So that review continues now for 4 years. I've been saying the same thing about the Moto G line of phones.
Well, and I'll say this. You're not the only one. You're one of the few people I respect who actually say that. I've heard only a couple other people say it, and they're typically in South America where Moto set up factories, in fact, and they do product. I will say I've been playing with a Moto X Pure because my phone now, once in a while, will only hold a charge for like an hour. And then just zap out, and I leave it plugged in, and it takes an hour for it to show past 0%. The Motos are amongst the most solidly well-built phones for a good amount of time now, every bit of 6-7 years. And then my son has the E series, and it's a perfectly capable phone. I'll say this, intelligently pull back features without degrading quality. If that makes sense. No.
I misspoke. I said a $300 phone. This was a $250, not even that much. But battery life of 16 to 20 hours with, you know, teenager use. The feel of the phone is it feels solid in the hand in terms of construction. It survived, you know, my daughter from 13 to 16, and she never had anything more than a thin TPU case on it. You know, it wasn't in an OtterBox or anything. So, you know, I'm just all in on the Moto G series for entry level phones. If you want the Amazon ads on it, you can give it for like $219.
Yeah, true. And I want to say Motorola is getting ready to release or just released a device where they guarantee the screen will not break.
Interesting.
I want to say Highlander, who's the old timer, old faithful in the IRC chat, he said he like pre-ordered it. And to which me sarcastically, instinctively think, well, that's a really easy guarantee for a company to make that, you know, this screen won't break, because then you just ensure everything else on the phone will break first. So then people won't have it long enough for the screen to break. And I say that very sarcastically. Motorola's hardware to me is not the best there ever was kind of thing. They are they're constantly top tier though.
Right. Yeah. The chat room agrees with me too. We've got a Moto G, Moto G2, Moto G3, Moto G4, and Moto G5 all represented in the chat room. And, you know, I think Bodot Dot says it best, not great, but very good. And that's all you need. And yeah, I wouldn't buy that phone myself just because I'm a speed freak and I need to have a better phone than my wife. That's just my own male ego right there. But in terms of just everyday use for your non-technical person, it's great. The thumbprint reader is lightning fast and it's small. It's the smallest one I've seen, which I find, I worry about that a little bit. If it's thin like that and it's only getting a cross-section, can it be as accurate as a full-size thumb sensor on the G6?
I'll say this. As long as it's accurate enough, and I have no idea how to measure that, as long as it's accurate enough, I would be okay with it. Yeah, it's really difficult to defend. Yeah, man, I would hope it is. I don't hear people complaining about it. I don't hear about people hacking it any easier.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would assume that within my family, there would be some genetic similarities. If anybody's going be likely to break into a phone, it would be a family member, right? And none of us can get into any other people's phones. That's a super unscientific thing, but it is true. It does hold up. I guess that, to use your word, Doris, good enough. You know, it gives you basic access to the phone. It gives you basic protection. It's not, you know, military grade, to use a buzzword, but it's solid.
Yeah. And I channeled Mark Cockrell earlier this week. I was talking to someone about security and I was like, well, first off, you're using the word completely incorrectly. There is no security. There's only more or less of it. To actually have security entails having no communications. Exactly. It's just down. So no, you can be more secure. And because like bottom line, stuff gets hacked, bottom line, stuff gets leaked, bottom line, passwords get guessed or whatever. It happen. And it's only a question for some people when it's going to happen. So good enough. Enough is, all you can take is common knowledge and your own personal experience. I will say I'm still looking at the Mate SE as a possible replacement device. I want to say 220 is how much it costs. That's for the low end model with, I want to say, 64 gigs of internal space and 6 gigs of RAM. It's a number thing.
Right.
I'll just say that. And part of me believes that the Motorola G experience is almost, I dare I say this, like an Apple-like experience. I think part of the reason people like Apple is consistency of, they know exactly how it's going to act in their hand. Like it's going to constantly take accidental screenshots and stuff like that. It's constant in what it is. When you pull it out, it does the same thing every time. And the Motos I've seen touched over the last couple of years have been unbelievably solid.
I wish I had it in front of me, but I read skimmed an article just this week about one of the Asian manufacturers. Well, they're all Asian manufacturers. I think it might have been Huawei or even OnePlus. Their next model of phone was slated to have 10 gigs of RAM. That's getting a little crazy, but you know why not? We've got it.
Yeah, the Honor. I'm trying to remember what it was, but there was a Huawei device supposedly going to be announced before November-ish, and they expected the high-end model to have 10 gigs of RAM. And the reason is, why not? Why not?
Right.
Android loves RAM. I've said this for years. I've literally listened to podcasts long enough to where I've heard their Android experts from websites we've all heard of. Those experts say, you know, 6 gigs of RAM is stupid. You know, well, just give me 4. I've heard them say that on the show. And now that at least they're coming around a little bit to starting to understand more RAM cannot equal worst experience on an Android device. Sure, maybe if you go up to like 100 gigs, maybe you'll get a worse experience. But what we have net to today, Android is a RAM machine. It just makes more RAM, makes everything run faster, smoother, better.
If you can use it, you know.
Well, no. If extra is fine, because extras, then you have fault tolerance for when segments go bad, they automatically get reassigned. So it gives you more wiggle room. There's a reason why devices degrade over time. Right. It isn't just the battery. It isn't just the processor. It isn't just the MMC type storage device. It's the RAM itself too. It all ages with use. And we use the crap out of these things. And really quick tangent, Mark. For people out there that try to talk down about smartphones, how they're like downfall to society kind of mentality, about how they're ruining people and about how you're getting back to nature, kind of you feel better when you don't use your phone kind of thing. I'll say this, shame on you for being unconditionally and limitedly biased. It is not good. It is not bad. It is a thing. How that thing interacts with you is up to you. If you take anything too far, whether it be ice cream, whether it be an Android device, a game console, whether it be pleasuring yourself, anything too far, it's unhealthy. Stop claiming these things are unhealthy, because I can tell you they've been very beneficial to my overall health.
Yeah, but Dory, it's always been true that your pet sin is worse than my pet sin.
Well, and that's the thing. It means something different to everybody. And if anybody hears podcasters talk down about smartphones, just email them perception is reality. Because I guarantee you, if they hear those three words and they stop for a split second about what rhetoric they spew, they would definitely agree with such a term. Because it is. That's one consistent thing between beings. Perception is reality.
It's true.
I can't tell Mark how to think. I'm not going to even attempt to tell Mark how to think. Mark is Mark. His perception is his reality. I'm just going to revel in the fact that we can entertain each other every week about our own personal exploitations thereof.
I read some on the same line. I read some research. This was a long time ago, 20-ish years ago, about the color perception in the human eye. And yeah. Like, for example, the color that I call green, you might see as the color that you call blue, but we've all been trained to use the words green or blue. And there's some evidence to suggest that we actually interpret wavelengths differently. And that what we call our favorite color, we may all actually have the exact same favorite color biologically. We've just used a different name because we've been trained. So in that vein, you know, physically speaking, physiologically speaking, perception is reality. There's no way around that.
Well, and there's more, and it goes deeper, and it goes scarier, and it's our perception of color is not how it is. If we were to look at what we look at on a daily routine with a unabated view, an unabated spectrum of everything going on around us, things would look remarkably different, not just our own perceptions there of color, because there's so much more going around outside of our little narrow perspective of view that we just don't see. So we literally made up terms color. We literally made up terms vegetable. We literally right. made up these categories of things, which is amazing, yet it's the little thing that goes between us that sews together existence and culture and society and community and yada, yada, yada. That's the kind of stuff I find absolutely mind-blowing. Those are the kinds of conversations, Mark, when I was around 17, 18, working fast food overnight shift, we would just have conversations like that all night about, I guess now in hindsight, it would be a little bit of philosophy. I don't know. Philosophical type topics, I guess. I don't know.
Well, why don't we philosophically discuss some Android apps?
And we have, I think, more than a couple emails. Yeah, well, first, I got to say, we did not discuss really much at all the Android announcements, the Google announcements. Oh, sorry. I said Android. During the whole thing, it's like they didn't say the word Android once.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to distance themselves from the term Android. What? Isn't that kind of like Microsoft not saying Windows? I mean, I don't know. All the hardware, extremely meh and extremely Apple-like in price. We're not going to talk about it on this show because we're normal people with normal people who own stuff like Moto G3s listening to us. If we expected to have people listening to us using a slate, we would talk about it. but we don't expect people to buy a slate to listen to us, is what I'll say. Stardew Valley is coming out on mobile. It's coming out on iOS first, then Android. I'm going to do my best to be here every week, Mark. I don't know. I'll also say the opposite has happened, and that is Game Dev Story, an old game from Android that I loved playing, is now available on the Switch. It's $12. I'm not paying $12 for it. I'm going to put it on my wish list. Comes down on price, I'll probably end up buying that too. But Stardew Valley, Mark, I can guarantee you one thing. It is an unbelievably spreadsheet-friendly game. You could play it for an hour. You could play it for 4 hours. You would never play it again, is the only thing I'm sure about. So, you know.
All right. I actually hadn't gone through and looked at the emails here, but we do have quite a few new patrons on Patreon. We'll talk about those a little later on. But
yeah, I noticed I logged into Patreon and I see a little bell, and I'm not getting all the emails I should be, is what I'm going to guess, because that bell has a number to it, like greater than 12. That's a lot. One thing I will say, we hate seeing this. I hate seeing this happen, but it's one of those inevitabilities with software. Back in the day when you got your brand new and shiny Apple computer or your Windows 3.1 computer, there was a lot of software you had to buy to get the functionality out of it you needed. Nowadays, if you have a browser, you're 80% of the way there. You know, you're fine. But Android is slowly sucking up and killing apps that we brought to the show or we like, one of them now being Glimpse. It's basically killing all the functionality that was in Glimpse that we knew was going to happen, I would say, sooner or later. In Google Maps on Android, you can now share trip progress via other apps. This literally came out 6 hours ago. I haven't had a chance to try it. As long as it will remain open and continue to update, I love the idea. I love it. But I'm sad to see Glimpse go. I enjoyed Glimpse.
Well, I used to be a Glimpse user, and it stopped. I don't want to say stopped working, but the functionality of it changed pretty dramatically several versions back to where it really wasn't this thing anymore. So I'm glad to have that back. I share my location with my family, and but it would be nice sometimes to share it with, like, if I'm going to visit somebody. Say I'm going to meet you, Dor, down at Podcast Expo. It would be nice if we shared our progress with each other temporarily, but I don't want you to see where I am all the time. So it's a nice little feature there. I haven't used it yet, but cool. But yeah, moment of silence for Glimpse.
Yeah. I will say on my son's phone, I went into his Google Maps, speaking of the opposite, and I went in location sharing, and then on mine, I had a plus. And I added, on my son's phone, I added me, and I basically clicked permanently. So now anytime I want, I can load up my Google Maps. I can go to location sharing. I can see where he's at any point in time. As a parent, I love that a lot. Yep. And as a trip progress meter, to have all that already right there, nice is what I'm going to say. Especially if it's literally just like one click. Because I've seen it change. I don't know about you, Mark. My Android Auto has went through at least two updates in the last month and a half, 2 months. I've seen good periodic updates on my Android device of maps in the last 3 months, where they're changing what's going on in some of the menus and some of the subscreens. Now, at least on Android Auto, when I do a directions and I start navigation, I can say search along route, and it actually works where it didn't work for a very long time.
And they're doing the predictive stuff. They've moved that out of Google Now, which they've killed, and they've moved some of the Google Assistant features straight to Maps, so that at around 4:30 every day, my Google Maps pops up my navigation information to go home. You know, Google Now used to do that. Now the app itself does that, and it's kind of cool. At a glance, I have this notification, and I can see the color. It goes from green to yellow to red, and so I was like, all right, it's getting yellow. I need to leave now. And that's a neat little feature, actually more than what Android, Google Now used to have. But yeah, it is definitely something that Google is putting their time and money into. I am concerned a little bit, not a lot, but I'm concerned about how much I am growing to be dependent, not on Android, not on my phone, but on Google. You know, my mail, my calendar, my to-do list, my maps all depend on this one company. And I don't I don't know that I'm looking to replace them or anything yet, but it is something that I've certainly paid a lot of attention to.
Well, okay, and I think this is a good part of the conversation then. Okay, here's the gimmick. Here's what I believe. It isn't that you're using Gmail. It isn't that you're using Task. It isn't that you're using Calendar. It isn't that you're using YouTube. It isn't that you're using Android. It isn't that you're using Maps. It isn't that you're using Google Plus. It isn't that you're using whatever. It's the fact that you know that they can at any point in time have a problem with that account, and it's going to be very difficult to rebuild
right. All
that stuff.
Right.
So really, to me, what you're worrying about isn't your interactions with them. What you're really worrying about is their trust in you. Here's, follow me here, Mark. Google has the token, Titan. It's basically a YubiKey with NFC built in. You can buy it for $50. These absolute incompetent journalists on shows not comprehending at all how security works. Talking about the Titan to me is comical, Mark. It is not a security device for you. What that key enables is Google to have greater trust in you. You're spending $50, so Google trusts you more. It has nothing to do with your personal security, okay? Because everything you do on Google is on Google servers, okay? It's about them trusting you, them giving you access to their servers. That's what, to me, that Titan's about. So if you really genuinely worry about your life cycle in Google not coming to an abrupt end or some sort of big hiccup and bumps, I honestly encourage you to spend the $50 on the Google Titan key.
Well, it goes beyond just that. Definitely the authentication is part of it, but also the Google Plus is going away. Google giveth and Google taketh away. I'm not heavily invested in Google Plus, but if they decided to get rid of Gmail, for example, that is something I'm heavily invested in and have been for close to two decades now. And I worry about the fact that not only am I using one company heavily, not only am I dependent on that one company, but it is a capricious company that has proven to be user hostile in the past.
They're shareholder friendly, yes. And to me, the scary thing about email is, I don't know if you checked it out, Mark, 99% of other people who do email suck at it.
Yes, absolutely.
And you get spam, you get scams, you get all kinds of crap in your inbox.
And you can't just run your own mail server anymore. I mean, the heavy geeks like us used to do that, but now ISPs block all that. So it's not even an option anymore.
All you can do is spin up a mail server and make it not in your network. It can't be on your network. Right. It has to be on somebody else's network. You can spin one up and mark and make it like part of a shared trust system, but it's not the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. Personally, I want email to die. It's not going to happen.
Not anytime
personally,
soon.
Personally, I know it has about as much chance of dying as me winning the $900 million. Okay. It ain't going nowhere. So, to me, I just say, well, then use Gmail as a tool. Realize it's a tool. And when possible, use something else. I do have other email servers. And I'm going to tell you, Mark, nothing I interact with is as reliable as Gmail. I mean, YouTube had an hour's worth of down or whatever the other night, which I just laughed at because I felt like Yoda. I could sense millions, millions of screams, of cries of the youth being bored and not knowing what to do. But yeah, Gmail is the trick. You can replace everything else. Calendar, nothing special, nothing fancy. Task, nothing special, nothing fancy. Even search. DuckDuckGo saw almost a 30% increase in U.S. market share.
But DuckDuckGo uses Google. So if Google...
Nope. You're actually mistaken. They use like four different search engines. And the thing is that they anonymize your communications. So while you do have some Google influence in your search results, Google then does not benefit from it.
No, but my point is if search goes away, Google search goes away, everybody, including DuckDuckGo, is diminished by that. So you can't just say that's a drop-in replacement. It's not.
Well, it is for temporary purpose. Nothing's permanent in this universe, especially a search engine. And it's all about just getting by for right now. So for right now, perfection, if you plan for perfection, plan for failure,
right,
is what I'll say.
I think that in time, this Google, what'd you call it, Titan? Is that?
Yeah.
I think in time we will have this digital agent stuff figured out. And I think the phone is where that's going to be. My phone will be my source of identity for all things, for government, for business, for personal. And I will have an intelligent agent, and I will be able to tell that intelligent agent, go make this financial transaction for me. And it will do that. Right now, you know, identity is one of the most difficult things that we can do. We all, you know, have LastPass and have dozens of passwords. And even then, that's not identity, that's access, you know, and so we're going to figure this out eventually. And then things are going to change pretty dramatically, but we're also going to be very dependent once again on whatever that identity is, whatever that digital agent is, and that digital agent is going to have a cloud component, and somebody's going to have to host that. And I think, honestly, I think that's the way Google is going. They want to be, in the next 50 years, they're looking long term. They want to be your authentication agent for everything. And they're doing that by sucking up communications and navigation, all those things. And they'll put it all together where it will literally be your digital assistant, your digital self.
Three syllables. Multipass.
Yes.
Yes. And yes, identity management is the buzzword for it. It is a extremely difficult thing, one, to define, because it means different things to different people, to different entities, to different services, to different times of life, everything. It means something different. But it is an extremely difficult thing to do, and companies like Microsoft has proven that they cannot even begin to broach the subject of identity management. Their own identity management on Azure is not using Microsoft technology. So identity management, difficult, hard to do, hard to nail down, hard to define, hard to isolate. But having a smart computer on your person is the beginning to it, because it's about you managing your identity and it managing it for you. It really is hard. And I don't want to say like Blade Runner-esque, but that's the kind of technology where I try to envision, I try to imagine, and there's no doubt I am nowhere even close to remotely correct to what it's going to end up.
Right.
You know? But it's very interesting because it's going to mean a lot. And this is what I tried to tell my wife. That was really mansplaining of me. No, me and my wife had a discussion, and we were talking politics. We're one of the few people I know who are not on the same side of the spectrum of mental disorder called politics. But we actually have conversations. And like one of the things I said to her is, I personally believe healthcare, if you want healthcare for all, that the question is it mandatory? Because that to me is the very first question you have to answer. Is it mandatory? Because if it is not mandatory, it doesn't matter. You can try it and you're going to have people circumvent it and use it as a tool. You'll have people getting illicit drugs, you know, from it. You have people abusing it for whatever way they can. If it's mandatory, then you have to keep track of everybody as well, which means as soon as you as a doctor see anybody anywhere, you instantly know their entire history and can handle them correctly. But that's mandatory. That's China. You know what I mean? Not cool. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not claiming to know the answers. I just claim to be able to identify trouble spots. I'm not a politician. I'm not going to lie to people. Yeah. It's not easy, Mark. But yes, I'm looking forward to advancements. Even rings. I do think there's a possibility of like a ring form factor being actual useful and functional and not just a overpriced pedometer.
Right. I think some of the biggest challenges that face the world today are energy production and identity management. Those two things, can handle, you know, energy production solves some of the biggest problems like, you know, world hunger and that sort of thing. And identity management can solves wealth issues and distribution of it. Those two things, once they are solved, is going to change the fundamental fabric of society as we know it.
Yeah, I used to despise the idea of cloud computing, Mark. And it was because then I did not own the service. I did not own the data. I did not have root. I had a minor epiphany, and that was, if we want to have ubiquitous computing, okay, there, I have to accept communication is part of it. I can't do everything in my pocket. I have to rely on external places to do it. And there are places in the world we can set up power type plant things that literally cost zero to do, like solar panels in the middle of a desert, right by a volcano, using thermo things for energy.
Wave
having
pumps
data
on the
centers
beaches
close to them cause much less energy damage if you will. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we have to have cloud computing in order to actually do what these dreams entail.
That was an interesting discussion that all started from a maps update. What else have you got to discuss?
Okay, one thing I wanted to bring up, and I got to bring this up, Mark, just because it's an oldie. As soon as I saw it, I immediately just had to play it. For one reason, it's by KetchUp. KetchUp. We've done more than a couple apps from KetchUp in the past. This one is called Prince of Persia Escape. It's basically the old school, I don't even know what system this was first on, Mark. Apple II, Commodore 64, something like that?
I don't know.
It's extremely archaic is what I'm going to say. Prince of Persia game, slightly modernized graphics, looks more cel-shaded is the way I'll put it, but it's the same basic physics. So one thing I like about it is it's in portrait mode. I'm sorry, there's no better feeling than ignoring somebody at work that you know has no idea what they're talking about, but them looking at you thinking, he's just typing out an email. Yes, I'm just typing out an email. And actually, I'm playing Prince of Persia Escape.
I don't hide it. I just go ahead and play that game in the middle of that meeting, as long as I'm not running the meeting. But okay.
They won't let me run anything.
So is this a basic jump, climb, run thing?
Yeah, basically that's all it is, and I'm fine with it. It's a distraction. The word I'm going to use is distraction, because it was really good at distracting.
I didn't think about it when I put on the shirt. Am I completely a floating head in your screen?
You're close.
Sorry about that. Or maybe that's a good thing. This reminds me of something. I can't think of the game that it reminds me of, but it reminds me of another game. Not this one, but anyway. That's Insouciant commentary right there. Reminds me of something I can't remember. All right, so let me read a couple of emails and give a couple of thank yous. So I'm going to say Renee, says, hi, AAA, thanks for the great show and shows I've been with for many years. Today, I pay a small amount to AAA and Podnuts, Linux for the rest of us, a mini PC show, but I do not want to use Patreon because I pay $1 to Patreon, DKVAT, I'm Denmark Value Added Tax, when I pay $5 to Patreon. So AAA only gets $4. Is there another way I could pay money, maybe 2 to 4 times a year? Kind regards, Renee from Denmark. You've got a PayPal thing, right?
The easiest way is PayPal, and the easiest way to get to PayPal is podnuts.com, door-to-door geek. Click an episode of that, and it's right in the show notes is the PayPal link. Mail@podnuts.com is the email account associated with it. If you don't want to click something in there, and honestly, emailing is a form of donation because you donated time. And let me tell you something, being a parent, Mark, 900 mil, one of the first things I said that I would to my wife, what I would do besides getting away, first thing I would do is I would start the kids on an actual, what I consider formal education, an appropriate education is the way I'll put it. Because every day that they don't get what I consider to be top-notch education is a day I will never get back in my life, or they'll never get back a day in their life.
That's true.
So just emailing us, trust me, that's appreciated. If you want to support the network, you know, you can go to PayPal, mailpods.com. You can click on the DDG show and go through those links. Otherwise, just tweet us. You know, you can go and on the DDG notes, there is a clothing link, but buy a hat. We'll get like $2. You get a hat. I'm not doing the merchandise for money. I'm doing merchandise because I like people, but they won't let me take nothing in Zazzle. So I got to take something. So yeah, just thanks for the email. Thanks for letting us know that there are people across the ocean who enjoy the show.
Absolutely. And we certainly appreciate, Renee, your interest in donating money, and we will certainly take your money. And absolutely, there's no reason you should forfeit 20% of that to any government. So, you know, any international payment option, I think PayPal pretty much has all of that covered. And Patreon, by the way, they have really changed the way they report things. They're now much more honest about the report outs. And basically they're taking, in my case, I don't know if it changes, about 25% of your donation. So the part of that covers the credit card transaction fees, and then there's just a fee to do that. And then so just know that if you give $4 through Patreon, only about three of that gets to us anyway. And that may seem like highway robbery, but for the services they provide, that's comparable. I mean, the credit card processing, all of that, somebody has to pay. Somebody's got to get their VIG all along the way. The best, freest way to do it would be to do a Bitcoin transfer, you know? If you've got that set up, Dor, I know I have a Bitcoin link on my website for that very reason. It's simple. It's non-governmental. Nobody takes a piece of it, and it goes straight to me. And then I can transfer it to money, to U.S. dollars or not. But anyway, the key thing there is we thank you for wanting to give more than anything else. And the reason I like Patreon is because it's such a public thing. PayPal, Bitcoin, these things tend to be a little more anonymous. I had a listener give me, I don't know if it was a listener to this show or Geek Rant or the other, send me what I consider a significant donation. And that's a good thing, but only he and I will ever know that. Patreon is a community, and it's a community of people who have all committed to giving. And that's why I like Patreon.
Yeah, and I want to say, Chuck, thank you. I love you. I'm starting to hear myself. Is that better? Okay. Yeah, Chuck, thank you. He formally donated towards the next phone. So my next phone is going to, I'm going to have to do like a ceremony for it on behalf of Chuck. Him and Matthew Fuzzle are basically the reason I'm going to be able to afford a new phone. Thank you. Because, you know, the wife, it's not easy to convince her to let me get something that, you know, costs more than, you know, $20. You know, she's a wife.
So I bought my daughter a new phone, as I said, and I just wasn't paying attention. And the new phone required a nano SIM. Her old phone had a micro SIM, and I just wasn't paying attention. So I had to go to the AT&T store. Terrible experience, always, just a given. But the clueless and improper in almost every way salesperson I dealt with had left the paperwork for the people in front of me laying on the table while he was doing my paperwork. It was a ridiculous amount of paperwork to get a 50-cent SIM card, by the way. But anyway, what I happened to notice was that the people who were there in front of me, who sadly I know their name, address, and phone number now because he laid it right there and I have a photographic memory. So those two things were a bad combination. But anyway, they bought the new iPhone XS cubed lightning, whatever, $1,150 they paid for that phone. Yeah. It just blew me away. I mean, that's not only a laptop, that's a good laptop for the price of. Maybe it's the best phone on the planet. I kind of don't think it is, but even if it is it worth $1,150? If you add up all the I got five people in my house. We all have phones and tablets. If you add up all that we've spent on phones and tablets, you might get to $1,150.
I'm not going to, yeah. I mean, they literally named one of their models XS. XS. They literally named their model XS. They're literally shoving it in your face, America, people, population. It's XS, excess. It's excess. I think they're being honest with us about that. Is there anybody to spend that much money on a phone? I think honestly, we have priorities completely wrong. We have the richest poor people in the world in this country, and I think that's a good indication that we're not going to get any better.
Right. I mean, I get like take a Rolex for example. It's a $7,000, $8,000, $12,000, $50,000 watch. It's not about telling time. It's a statement. I own a Rolex and you don't. And so the XS phone is in many ways that. It's a statement. I have this and you don't. The problem is that every middle class of, you know, high school dropout wants to have the XS phone and not necessarily the Rolex. So it's this weird sort of entitlement slash statement piece that I don't know if that's existed in this culture before, but it's somewhat unsettling to me that it is both extremely excessive and considered standard equipment at the same time.
Yes, it's so accepted and encouraged is what I don't understand. Because I mean, you can get a mighty fine laptop for $300. I don't understand paying $700 for a phone. The Google Pixel 3, $799. A guy at work said he wants to get one. And I said, what's wrong with you? He said, what do you mean? I said, you're willing to pay $800 for a phone. He said, well, it's pretty good. I said, no, it's not that good. It's a phone. What's wrong with you? Do you have too much money? Do you need some hardship in your life? How about someone close to you dying? Maybe that will change your mind, because spending $800 on a phone is too much money. And then he's like, what do you mean? And I showed him like three or four $400 phones. I said, look, this is literally half the price. It's not half the device.
Exactly.
You're literally paying Apple tax. Even though you're buying a Google device, you're paying the Apple tax. You are paying just to have it. Don't. And if you want a Pixel, get the old one. It's perfectly fine, perfectly usable.
And they're having a fire sale on them now.
Well, and I'll say this. I really don't like the fact that Google is purposefully holding some of the technology ransom. And it's pure software, nothing more than software on the Pixel devices. And that is the caller ID scanner app, where if it is a scammer, your Pixel device won't even ring. The simple fact that they're holding back on that technology to any degree, to me, is a very insulting thing to do. When the FCC themselves said they believe in under a year, over 46% or 48% of all phone calls to mobile phones are going to be scam calls. For you, Google, to hold that back for the average consumer is, it's telling, is the way I'll put it. It's very telling, and it's what makes me as an individual not want to partake in your company's bar mitzvahs, Halloween parties, whatever. I don't want to participate when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, the don't be evil is a thing of the past. I'm not calling that evil, but it definitely isn't humanitarian.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, I think the day of reckoning for Android, literally, it could be less than 2-3 years away to where something else might come up and Android get its comeuppance. You know, when something is number one, there's only one way to go, and that's down. And the number of devices right now sold, by far, number one is Android. So, you know.
That is true, but it's also misleading, because that's probably 10 to 12 different OS versions across the multiple countries. There's still devices selling Honeycomb. So that's not the Android we know today. But yes, it fits that stat of it's Android, but it's not modern Android.
Right. And it could take 10, 15 years. I don't know. I have no idea. But I will say I'm a guy who craves competition on all fronts. So I want something else to stand up and demand to be seen, not the palm phone.
All right. So we are almost an hour in. We've had some great discussions, but only two apps. Let's go ahead and go straight for the tank emptying.
Okay. This app I got to bring for a couple reasons. One, it could be really useful or functional for a lot of people out there, besides just me. I'll say, and I don't even know how to pronounce this one. Wysa?
Yeah. Wysa, Wysa. I could go
W-Y-S-A. I don't know. It says AI therapy for stress, anxiety, and depression by Touchkin Health and Fitness. Does have in-app purchases, no ads, free to download and install, 8,835 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, updated October 18, 2018, 6.1 megs, 100,000 plus installs, current version 0.7.0.3, requires Android 4 and up. I'll just say this. I have a hard time, and these are terms, I don't know how else to put it, but I have a hard time bearing my soul, like being belligerently honest with AI or a bot or a script or an algorithm or however you want to define what the hell this phone app does. I have a really hard time being upfront and honest with it. I don't know. Mark, I'll say that I've not ever sat with an actual therapist. I have to say this correctly. I really haven't sat down with an appropriate therapist for any length of time to actually test whether or not I would be honest with them. But I'm not feeling like I'm comfortable being honest with that.
I think a lot of people would find the opposite to be true, that they would feel more comfortable bearing their soul to something that is artificial and therefore non-judgmental and only capable of canned responses than a human who might look down on them.
I don't know. I mean, I got to the point, I launched it, I opened it up, it like started asking questions, and it literally gave like a speech bubble, for like 3 or 5 seconds. I'm like, what? It's literally programmed to look like it's typing for 5 seconds. Somebody actually sat down and said, now, how long? Less, 3 seconds, maybe 5 seconds, six, no, five. Just 5 seconds, have the bubble pop up and then say this. I mean, that's all I could think about as I was launching it. So I didn't get very far with it, is what I'll say.
You know,
but
it's
interesting.
On that line, I recognize that in many ways I am an atypical human being, but I get frustrated, angry, enraged when I'm talking to a digital assistant and the fake keyboard clicks come on while the computer is doing something. You know, what is the nature of your emergency? I would like to open a new account. I can help you with that. Click, 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 click. I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it's like a lie. It's a lie. You are lying to me. You're trying to pass yourself off as a human, and you have failed miserably, but the fact that you're even trying, frankly, pisses me off. I want you to just admit right up front, I'm a computer, and you know, and say, you know, Star Trek style, processing every time you're doing something, instead of trying to do the keyboard clicks. And maybe I would have the same response to this, but I just get almost righteously indignant every time I hear that lie to me that tells me that this is a trying to pretend to be a person on the other end.
Yeah, it's almost like every time I get a help desk call and it's from an internal customer, the first thing I do is I immediately, literally sometimes seconds, I send that person a question. And really, the question is to do nothing more than distract them and delay them while I try to find the real answer.
Yeah, while you Google it. Exactly.
Right, exactly. But I want things to be honest with me like that. Like, now while we try to figure out what the hell was going on, listen to this. Something. Be just be honest. Here's an app though that I'm pretty sure has no fake mumbo jumbo going on, Mark. I will say, you have to unequivocally prove who you are and where you live for this app to work. Okay. This is called Inform Delivery from the United States Postal Service business app, E for Everyone. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases, free to download. 1,585 reviews, if I read it correctly. Sorry, yes. 2.4 average reviews, updated September 11, 2018, 9.3 megs in size, 100,000 plus installs, current version 2.4.0.0, 5.1 Android and up. This is a really handy dandy way that you can monitor what is being shipped to your house without having to rely on third party places to give you tracking information or on you going to their website and doing tracking and tracing. This will instead do the opposite, and the post office will tell you how much stuff is coming to your house and when it's coming to your house.
They do that on the website now. You can go to USPS.com and do that now.
Yes and no. This is the opposite. This, you prove who you are, and they will tell you when something is shipping to your
proactively
house.
Proactively. Yeah.
Yes. Where the other way, you always got to wait for them, send the email, you jump through the hoops. This was marginally easier, is what I'll say, Mark. But here's the gimmick. If you're not an Amazon guy, where I'm ordering from a bunch of different sites and services now, I think this is more beneficial. If there's, maybe, is what I'll say. It was cool. It was a pain in the butt to get certified, though.
And like everything you've come to expect from the United States Postal Service, it has a 2.4 out of 5-star review. And the first 4 visible reviews on the page are all start with things like, stopped working. This app is pretty much a dumpster fire. Trash again. I wish I could post a screenshot, but the app crashed. So, you know, these are the sort of things that we've come to expect from our fine government agencies.
I'm happy they're able to meet your standards of expectations, and don't expect anything more. There's a post office by my work, Mark. Okay. Literally, they take a 2-hour lunch break and lock the door. Literally. From noon to 2, I sat out front, not able to get into their building. And then they opened up the door at 2, laughing at me for waiting out there for so long. I didn't know what to say.
I'm only mad because I don't have a post office job.
Well, I would never wish that upon anybody, Mark. My goodness. Here's a game that I saw. And the only thing I thought, Mark, was this is not really a game. This is almost like pretend work.
It's a simulator. Yeah.
but it's a bad one. And my kid loved it. It's called Dig In, a excavator game by SimCoach Games Simulation. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases. If I read everything correctly, free to download. 49 reviews, E for everyone. 4.8 average reviews, updated October 9th, 2018, 53 megs in size, 5,000 plus installs, current version 1.2, Android 4.1 and up is all that you need. It's a very blocky, polygon-driven graphics that look like something from like old PS1 days or worse. And you got to go around with your excavator and do menial task.
Rhino in the chat room says it's a virtual Tonka toy. That's a good way to put it.
Basically, yeah. And then there's at some point in game where in the video they show him playing basketball and then playing some sort of like miniature golf type thing.
Dora, have you seen the guys on YouTube that do amazing feats with front end loaders and scoops and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. They open wine bottles and pour champagne with 20 ton machines. It's cool. But one of the ads or one of the comments is a nice simulator, but I don't like that it keeps offering me a real life job. At least have an option to turn that off. I just want to play the dang game. That's funny.
Crazy.
So maybe this is some sort of company's fitness simulator.
Well, and at the very end, the video did say it was sponsored by, I think it was called IOU. It was a union.
So it could be if you have the skills to do this, this is just a recruiting tool.
Yeah, IUOE, Local 66, sponsored the game.
All right.
Me and Mark were coincidentally talking about unions before the show, and no, it wasn't good. Last thing I just want to bring up, Mark, and only because I found it interesting, it's Google-related, not really Android-related, unless, of course, you get a little crafty. Neverware. Neverware is a company that Google gave millions to last year. They're a company, all they did was they took a customized Chrome OS, very loosely. You cannot, as an end user, install Google Chrome. A Chrome OS, period. You're not doing it. You can't do it. You're not doing it. Neverware was releasing a version of Google Chrome lightly wrapped around a Linux operating system, and they did a really good job. It is not Chrome OS. You do not get the benefits of Chrome OS. You do not get the security benefits of Chrome OS, but it's like Chrome OS. And Google gave them money. They thought they were doing such good work, and now schools in London are taking Neverware and putting it on computers and introducing them into a Chrome OS for education environment, and they're having success. I don't know if you know about Chrome for Education, Mark, but it's actually pretty successful so far, I'll say, making crap tons of money, selling lots of them. The people I know that manage such environments constantly remind me of how much more stable it is and how much easier it is than any Windows environment they ever managed. And versus Apple, it's actually manageable, where with Apple stuff, there's no management involved in actuality. You just release them into the wild and hope they don't do stuff on them too bad. This is good in the Google sense. I like kids being surrounded by more generic computing stuff rather than, you know, Microsoft Word, MacBooks, stuff like that.
It's nice to know that they caught up with where I was in education 8 years ago. Congratulations, London.
Well, most of the U.S. is still behind, too, I'll say. It's a really good way to recycle money and use old things, because I don't know if you know, Mark, but there's a lot of rumblings I've heard in the last couple of years that no one will even accept old computers anymore because they have no use for them.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, what?
Yeah, I'm going to call a little bit of BS on this picture here, because I'm looking at these computers and I recognize that style of computer. I have a rough idea of how old they are, and none of them are plugged into anything. At that age, those laptops have about 30 minutes of battery life. And, you know, that's going to be the issue with reusing old laptops, which is why when I was in education, we stayed away from laptops and used desktops because they have a much longer life cycle for half the cost.
And not only that, but they're parsable. You can parse them out and replace pieces and parts very easily.
Did I ever tell you about the case experiment I did?
Case,
yeah. So I had a bunch of old beige boxes. They were probably early model Pentiums. They were that old. But they were running a thin client OS, and they were super smooth, and they ran really well. But they were old, beat-up computers, and the teachers at the school where I worked would not use them. They complained about them. They said, they're old, they're slow, they don't work. I took all of those computers back out of their rooms, about 100 of them. I bought $1,000 worth of $10 cases that were shiny and new and black, and I put the old components in the new cases, and told, we use the same old monitors. I told them I couldn't afford new monitors, but I did get you new computers. And they raved about them. They were the best thing ever. They ran so much better, so much faster. They were so much smoother because I changed them from beige to black. Placebo is a thing.
Oh, it's a real thing. I honestly wish I lived in your town and you would have told me that like 8 months after you did it, because then I would just go talk to as many of the teachers as I can. And then literally get as many in the group as I can and just lambast. just go ballistic on them. And Mark, I cannot believe you would suggest that a journalist, because that's what this journalist would actually fabricate an image just to make the picture look better for a clickbait type article. I'm shocked you would suggest such a thing happen.
Well, he had to take his picture quick because those batteries were going to go dead really quickly.
Right. And in the back, that smart board thing, Mark, my kid's school has one. We have one at work. I love hate those things, yeah, is what I'll say.
When they work, they're awesome. When they work.
We changed at work. Now we have something. It's basically a gigantic TV, 60-inch like TV with a computer built in that you can, from Windows, display something to it. You know, it's Windows. I don't know.
Right. All right. What else you got, Dor? Is that it?
That's really the only things that I will say was like crazy interested in. I will say the only other article that I found that actually caught my attention was, and I hate sites that do that thing, Mark, that you mentioned, when you take the mouse away, it pops up, hey, before you go.
Yeah.
I hate that. But this is an article on Android Authority. Make sure you have your pop-up blocker, your ad blocker turned on before you go to such a site. 15 best games with gamepad support for Android. Most of these are older games is what I'm going to say. But some of them are really, really damn good is what I'm going to say. Evoland, utterly fantastic game. Horizon Chase, fantastic game. Minecraft, of course, is on the list. Oceanhorn, fantastic game. Oddworld series, oldie but fantastic game. Riptide GP series. Like Wave Race, water ski jet type game. If you want to play with the gamepad at all, I encourage you try these types of games first.
All right. I don't have any experience with a gamepad, so I can't comment. So
there are some people who just don't play games.
What I will do instead is read an email from our friend Greg. It says, I listened as one of the hosts commented on why the Netflix VR app has a fixed screen size and a couch. That was me. Well, on the Gear VR, the only VR set I have, so I can't speak for others, there's an option in the upper left of the screen to turn off the environment. This allows you to resize the screen to whatever you want and put it in to follow your head mode. I use this when I go to bed, and I don't want the screen to keep wide awake. I want the screen to keep the wide awake. Keep me wide awake. I'm sorry. I can't follow keep that.
The wife awake.
The wife awake. Ah, there we go. I use this when I go to bed, and I don't want the screen to keep the wife awake. Makes a lot more sense. VR experience or not, it makes a perfect spouse saver if one of you is an early bird and the other's a night owl. Thanks, Greg, a.k.a. Orion. Well, it's nice to know you can turn that off. Okay. I like the idea of, a 40-story screen on my face. If it's... That would actually get me to buy the thing more than anything else, knowing that that is that immersive viewing experience.
And I get the fact you don't want to wake your wife up. I'll say this. I'm the opposite. My wife is upset at the fact that I believe I'm a Vulcan. I'm a Vulcan. Hi, my name is Door Geek. I'm Vulcan. The bed's for sleeping. I go to bed, I'm sleeping. That's why I go to bed. I don't go to bed while I watch TV. I go to bed to sleep. When I watch TV, I'll go to the living room, watch TV. And with me, the one thing I'll say I don't like about VR, at least right now, Mark, is watching the movies in them. Most of the reason I watch a movie, I'm watching it to have the experience with my son or my wife or somebody right there next to me so we can both watch the movie. I don't like the isolation of a VR headset, and that's because I've not experienced any collaborative movie watching, which I'm sure is possible in the Plex app, I want to say it is. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I want to turn my head and see a virtual avatar of somebody and say something and then have them look at me and go, shh. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you've got your headphones in, do you have to have a microphone to have that virtual conversation? Or you just have to trust they're going to hear you? I don't know how that works.
I'm not sure. And I'll say this, Mark. Because this is the only chance I get to say it. Nintendo Switch, NES Online, you get an NES Classic, basically application where right now you get 24 games to play on it, where you have save states on it, so you can get to a certain spot, save the state, exit out, come back, play it whenever you want. I tell you, man, the old NES Golf, the old Ice Hockey, the original Tecmo Bowl, not Super Tecmo Bowl, because both of them were on NES. I really hope Super Tecmo Bowl comes out for it, because being able to, you know, record your stats for the whole season and see at the end of the year, I had, you know, 65 sacks. Yeah, beat that. It is really a fun experience, and the fact that it's portable, and at any point in time, you just click the screen off and then click the screen on and just start playing again. It is a hell of a lot of nostalgia going on there.
I remember when I had Sega Genesis, I think it was. It might have been the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, not PlayStation, Xbox. But anyway, the one of the games, I think it was Madden, you could build your own players, right? And so I had my team of, you know, a 22-man roster. I didn't fill out everybody. I had one position on each, on offense and defense. They were all like 7 feet, 2 inches, 600 pounds, all monsters. And, you know, I went to the Super Bowl, quote unquote, like not only undefeated, but winning hundreds to nothing everything. And that was a fun little experience that showed how immature I was. But when you talk about Tecmo Bowl, that's going way back, way, way back. And the saving of the state thing, right? You couldn't do that on the old Nintendo, could you? Or maybe you, not the original one.
No. Yeah. There was no saving states. Best case scenario, the games would have codes, ridiculously long codes you would have to type, and they would only restart you at very certain spots. The first game to have an in-battery save feature was Legend of Zelda. Nice. And not many games had it.
Yeah, the gaming has changed in so many ways.
Completely. Yeah. Completely. Nintendo hard is now a term, where back then it was just Nintendo. That's just how games were.
Right.
They were supposed to be hard. They were supposed to be difficult. They were supposed to make it so you would get a dent in your finger and you would cuss, kind of thing. And you would want to throw the controller, and you would. And guess what? If that controller would ricochet, come back and hit you, you'd be hurt.
Yep. You started at level 1 and you ended at level 99. If you died anywhere in between, yeah, you start over again at level 1. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's why these millennials today are so soft. It's game save states. That's what's done it. That's what's ruined our culture.
Well, is it art influencing life or life influencing art?
It's too hard. I don't know.
I don't know, but I know on the son's, the kid's Wii U, I believe it was a Super Mario Brothers game they were playing, side-scrolling, and what my son figured out on World 1-3 was if you die 7 times, Luigi will pop up and ask, do you want me to show you how to beat this stage? You hit yes. He basically walks through the stage nonstop, and at the very end he says, do you want me to mark you as complete? And my son clicked yes. So he went through the entire game like that, all the way up to 8-4, whatever it was at the end of the game, and he could not beat the last stage, and Luigi would not pop up and help him. So he asked me for help. I literally never played the game before. Sat down, played the game. 10 minutes later, the game was beat. And I threw the controller. I said I would never play this game again. It's one of the worst games I've ever played. Give me old Nintendo difficult, because this is not Nintendo difficult anymore. This was Nintendeezy. Crap.
Well, let me take a few minutes to thank our 3 new patrons on Patreon.com. That is Bob Forgy, Nikolai Groot, and Mark Daythorn. I apologize if I ruined any of your names. You have all stood up and been counted as supporting the show, and we thank you so much for your support. If you would like to be as cool as Bob, Nikolai, and Mark, you can do so by going to Element OP. No, that's my show. By going to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and making your donation. Door has it set up monthly, so you could pledge $1 a month, a quarter a week out of your life. It's not about the money. It's about standing up and being counted, about joining the community and saying, I believe in listener-supported, advertisement-free, loud, live, and independent content. Patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts.
Yeah, and honestly, people think Colin McGregor in UFC is a loudmouth Irish guy. Let me tell you something. He doesn't hold a candle. Because I said it, and I'll say it again. If you cannot afford $1 a month to give to those that you partake in, you need to contact me and I will help you earn more money. Nobody contacted me and said, hey, I'm not making enough money. I find that incredibly hard to believe is what I'm going to say. Skeptical looking at the people out there. Because a lot of other podcasters that I experience, again, I subscribe to over 140 podcasts. They don't even reply to emails. They don't even reply to people back again. If you have in the subject line, I need more money or something like that, I can virtually guarantee you, you'll get a quick reply. And if you're just trolling me, I'll sniff it out quick. Especially if it says sent from my iPhone. First world problems. Your rose
gold iPhone. All right. Well, I think I can do nothing more now but to end the show. Say thanks, everybody, for listening. Let me go through the small but a quality group of apps that we have tonight. Google Maps, specifically the fact that you can now share your trip progress. Prince of Persia Escape by Catch App Arcade. WISA, AI Therapy for Stress, Anxiety, and Depression by Touchkin. Informed Delivery by United States Postal Service. Dig In, an Excavator Game by SimCoach Games. And over on Android Central, be sure to have your ad blockers loaded. 15 best games with gamepad support for Android. So that's it. It was a mixed bag tonight. Discussion, apps, and Door talking about Nintendo hard. It's a win-win all the way around. Thanks for being with us, listener. Thank you for allowing me to be the host and the I am a fan of the show first and a host second, so I enjoy being here. Door, what are your final words of wisdom for the night?
Make sure you take care of everyone. We're getting to the winter time. I literally just sent a donation to a good friend of mine who's down in Florida who got hit by the hurricane. The one thing that I honestly think has always made this country great is its ability for individuals to support individuals. Reach out, find somebody you know who needs help this year, and just do what you can.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. That's it for this episode of Android App Addicts.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network. And we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.
Hello and welcome to this podcast from the
Podnuts
World Service. Please let us know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. Podcasts from the
Podnuts
World Service are supported by
Podnutsians and
advertising.